Sam Panionovich joins us on Wednesdays at this time. Thursday? Thursdays at this time. We talk sports wagering and sports wagering with Sam. This conversation is sponsored by our friends at PointsBet. You're on the phone today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, King John. I'm actually, I'm stunned. You haven't lost yet. Three straight weeks. I mean, you bring me on for expertise, but man, we need like a fire hose to cool you off. You had the Bears under.
Yeah.
You hit that. I mean, That game sucked to watch, by the way, especially if you're a Bears fan. I mean, it was awful.
It was
24-10.
I sat down to watch that whole. I don't normally sit. I sat and watched pretty much that whole thing, and there wasn't a happy moment in that game. Here's the highlight of the Bears game on Monday night. Wow, they've got a good punter. If you want to watch another team punt well, that was your football game. Otherwise, not much.
And you are very, let's say, you're not very tuned into what's going on at Hallis Hall Soldier Field, but even you, the novice, looks at that game last week and you go, they're not going to get to 43 points. Yeah. And you were totally right because the offense is it's just so bad. And I sound like a broken record on your program, but I've talked about this with you for a couple of years. I never understand how when a team is facing 3rd and 7, they throw the ball 5 yards. When it's 3rd and 3, they throw it 1 yard. When it's 3rd and 11, they throw it 8 yards. They consistently do that. It's maddening to me how when they need X, they always throw it just short of X. And they did that all night on national television. And fans are fed up, and I understand it.
What are you going to do? I mean, that's your quarterback. That's your coach. I'll bet you that's all you're going to get this year, right, Sam? There's no immediate remedy, is there?
There's not, and Matt Nagy has said, and Adam Hogue has talked about this, about how potentially he might hand off the play calling, but it's one thing to say that, it's another thing to do that, because a lot of these guys, they like to be in control, and they like to call the plays, and something's got to give. I mean, this defense is so good, but the problem, when you have a very good defense and a very poor offense, your defense has to play pretty much A or A-minus football to give you a chance to win. And while they can do that, you know, more times than not, it's hard to do that every week in the NFL.
And their season gets tougher now, too.
They get the Saints this weekend. Now, this is interesting because, you know, New Orleans, they're 4.5-point favorites. Of course, nobody's going to want to go back to the Chicago Bears bandwagon because everybody watched them, you know, a couple days ago. And it's people remember what they've last seen, right? So they're going to go, oh, I can't bet the Bears. They suck. I don't know that it's, you know, that black and white. I think, you know, you're not as good or as bad as your last game. But Drew Brees is 41 years old, man, and he can't throw the ball down the field. It is 30 degrees on Sunday with winds like 10 miles an hour. It's going to be a tough game for Drew Brees playing outside. Remember, he's been very good in the dome as of late. But to be a 40-year-old quarterback in the NFL playing in windy Chicago on the lake, there may not be fans, but that's not going to be an easy game for him.
What's the over-under on this, Sam?
It's been bet down, believe it or not, already 3 points. 46-43 at points bet right now.
I should have gotten in at 46, but I still think, I hate to sound like a broken record, I think I'll take the under.
Honestly, you might just press until this, you know, doesn't work out for you. They've been a very good under team this year because their defense, you know, it's hard to move the ball in the Chicago defense. There were a couple situations last week where, you know, the Rams had some short fields. But, yeah, I mean, the market has totally told the story. These numbers come out usually Sunday. Open 46,
43.
And it's already at 43.
Here's what I don't want that. I don't like that bet anyway because I don't know enough about them. But I have so little confidence in our offense. Heck, the only touchdown we got wasn't from our offense anyway. So can I just bet on the points that the Bears will score?
You can do that. Yeah, PointsBet has 19.5 over-under.
No, 19.5 over-under on the Bears. Under.
Just the Bears.
Under. No, I want over-under on the Bears' offense, not the Bears' team. I don't know that they slice it that thin, but if I have to take the whole team, special teams and defense, I'll still take the under at 19.5.
I thought about this because, you know, we want to have some fun. Like, how can we take advantage of our misery watching this offense? Well, maybe we can make some money. If you actually wager on exactly 0 or 1 touchdown scored in the entire game. So say it's 7-3 or 10-6. If you wager on 0 or 1 touchdowns, that's a 14-1 payout.
Is that for the Bears or both teams?
Both teams. So, like 0-1. I said, if it's 7-3, that's 1 touchdown. If it's 10-6, that's a touchdown and a bunch of field goals. You need zero or one touchdown. That's not going to be fun to root for, but it's fun if it comes home.
Oh, yeah. No, I could see it as tough to kick field goals, too. But I could see, since the offenses will stall, maybe we put up three field goals and they get a touchdown and two field goals. So that looks like a football score, 13-9, but that would be one touchdown. 14-1, so if I bet $10, no, if I bet $5, I get $90, right?
Yeah, and the problem with a bet like that, and I know you're not a big gambler.
Can you
tell? The problem
with
a bet like that, yeah. you're rooting against like every play because you don't want any points. So every time they get close, you're like rooting for the defense, and then you know the other team gets the ball, and then you're just rooting for that defense. You're sort of you're rooting against yourself the whole game because you just don't want any points.
I can live with more allegiance to my wallet than the Bears, but that's because I'm not a crazy Bears fan. All right, thank you for all of that, Sam. I've got other things I want to talk to you about. The White Sox and Tony La Russa, the baseball season, the bet of the week, your pick of the week. That's all coming up with Sam Panayotovic. This is WGN. That's Sam Panayotovic, who joins us Thursdays at this time to talk about sports wagering and sometimes sports wagering, sponsored by PointsBet. Talk to me about the baseball season. So the World Series is over. By the way, do you have an opinion or much to say about the fact that the third baseman in the middle of the game gets pulled out because he tests COVID positive and then joins the team for the celebration without his mask afterwards?
Oh, how about when they were taking the team photo and he had the mask on and then he took the mask off and like nobody seemed to even care. I thought it was very strange that for all these months they've been talking about protocols and safety and then the season ends and literally there are no rules. I thought it was a little strange for sure. And not to get into politics, but I mean, that's, wasn't that the point? Like, if you got sick, like, stay away.
Yeah, I guess once the season's over, what are you going to do? You know, it's not like it's going to hurt the team's chances now. We just won the World Series. I think if you want to know why some people are hesitant, I don't know anything about this young man, but it's the attitude that some of us have. We get tired or we get angry or we're celebrating and we're like, I don't care. Screw it. I'm taking off my mask. We've all had moments like that, and there was one writ large for everybody to see.
I know. I fell asleep on the train the other day, and my mask came below my nose. A total accident, right? Like I wasn't flaunting it, and you know somebody, you know, jabbed me from the train and was like, "Hey, you need to put your mask on." And I'm like, "All right, look, that was totally an accident." You know, like I don't think what Justin Turner did was an accident, but I've never won a World Series, and I don't know what I would do if I won a World Series. So it's hard to put myself in his shoes.
Talk to me about the Major League Baseball season going forward.
Well, not necessarily going forward, but we've already got odds up at PointsBet for next year. The season just ended. The Dodgers just paraded around with the trophy, and we've already calibrated odds for next season. Now, it is interesting because they came up with two different things for the season. They came up with entertainment numbers for win totals, but they're not taking action on those numbers because they just don't know what's going to happen with COVID. So you can actually bet on season win percentage, which is a percentage number like for every single team. Yeah, like
right, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's complicated on the surface, but like for example, they put numbers on every team just so you had an idea of what the number is, but you can't bet that number. You can bet the percentage. Long story short, the numbers on the White Sox and Cubs, based on 162 games, the White Sox, 90.5.
I'll take that. I'll take the over.
That's a pretty big number. That's the third highest number in the American League. The Yankees are 97.5. The Rays are 92.5. And the White Sox are 90.5. The Cub number is a whole touchdown lower, 83.5 on the Cubs.
Wow. All right, but then if I'm betting the over on 90.5 games for the White Sox, I won't be betting 90. I'll be voting on the percent, betting on what the percentage is. What's the percent on that?
Correct. So 56% is 90 wins. So essentially the options that you can bet into right now, if they don't play 162, say they play 140 or whatever, as long as the final percentage is over 55.9% on the White Sox, you're a winner there. And the Cubs season win percentage, it sounds very weird to say that, but we're in a weird time after all. The Cub win percentage over under 51.5%.
It's interesting, isn't it, Sam? Because 56 doesn't sound super ambitious, but 90 wins would be a spectacular season for any team, and particularly the White Sox. And yet you only need to win 56% of your games to, you know, vie for a pennant with 90-plus wins. It reminds me of another sort of statistic that we noticed years ago when we paid more attention to the Cubs on this radio station. If you only win 5 out of every 9 games, you'll win 90 games. You only need to win 5 out of 9. Win 5 out of 9, it'll be playoff time, went the song that somebody wrote for us. And this is more evidence of that. Win 56%, you got 90-plus wins, and I'm taking the over. What are you going to take?
I actually think the over is a pretty good bet. And by the way, there's somebody somewhere going, I wish I put batteries in my calculator. I am so confused right now because they're throwing so many numbers. Yeah, but I mean, that's what it is. You can't. The reason they do that with the season win percentages is because if they don't play 162 games and you take bets on 162 games, you have to refund all of those bets. So this is a way around that, where it's driven into the stipulation that rather than put a tangible number, 90.5, you write into the rules that this is going to be, no matter how many games they play, it's a percentage of that number. And to answer your question, I'd probably go over the White Sox number. I think this Cub team, I told you before this season, I think the window is pretty much shut, and they're going to start getting rid of the core guys. I mean, there's not much life left in that Cub team.
83. What's the – why? Why 83? Not 87, 88?
Well, and they were pretty dead on last year. The total was, what, 32.5, and I think they won 33 or 34. I mean, it was pretty close. It's just you have so many guys that are probably going to be frustrated going into this year if they don't start off pretty well. I mean, who knows? They might start trading guys. Who knows how much longer Brian is there? And Rizzo, we know he's frustrated. He wants to be there. They won't lock him up. John Lester probably retires. The pitching staff has holes. And who knows what David Ross is as a manager? There are a lot of question marks.
Their best players just have to start playing better, Baez and all of them. Talk to me about Tony La Russa.
very polarizing situation on the south side here, and somebody told me that it could happen today. I'm not close to the White Sox as a reporter anymore, but I know people that are, and they think that, you know, the Reinsdorfs and Rick Hahn and Kenny, they want Tony La Russa to be the manager. And you know, he's third all time in wins. He's got 3 World Series rings, 6 pennants, 12 division titles.
76 years old.
That's the other part of it. He's 76 years old. And he's supposed to inject life into a clubhouse full of 25-year-olds.
Where are you on this? If I get to be king, you will be in charge of who is the manager of the White Sox.
He's better than Ricky Renteria, and if that's all that matters. I'm on board with that. You know how I feel about
really?
I feel about Renteria.
Really? So that's all we've got? It's Ricky Renteria or Tony La Russa? That's it?
Who would you rather have?
I don't know enough to know, but I'm not thrilled about a 76-year-old manager. I'm an ageist.
I'm not thrilled either, but you know, I think strategically, situationally, Tony La Russa, assuming he still has it all together, I haven't talked to Tony La Russa in 5 years. I have no idea. I assume he does. I assume they vetted him properly, but that guy knows how to win games in the playoffs. I mean, the success speaks for itself. I do have my concerns. He also hasn't managed since 2011. It's not like that was yesterday or last week. So, I don't know. I guess, you know, they say you can't go home. He was here at 79-86. I think he was a better manager then than he is in 2020. But I don't hate it as much as some people do.
Kevin Powell tweeted last night, WGN Radio Sports. You'll hear him on the afternoon news a little later on here, and he's on board. Kevin, I hope I'm not misquoting you. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but Kevin doesn't have a problem with Tony's age, and if you don't have a problem with Tony's age, how do you not love this resume? But I think that age and distance do start to become a factor at some point. That's just, to me, that's enough. Somebody tweeted last night, at 76, he shouldn't be the manager of the White Sox. He should be running for president of the United States. I guess if you're in your 70s and you can run this country, you ought to be able to run a little Major League Baseball team. But I don't know that 76 is a good age for either of those jobs, to be honest with you, Sam.
Well, you could also, you know, be a greeter at Walmart at 76.
I'm not saying that. Well, you know what? The Larissa doesn't need the money. I mean, really, at some point, I know it's nice to be wanted, but you ought to do a little personal assessment here and say, do I have it? Do I really have 162 plus games in me? And by the way, we're going to want about 180 games in you. So do you have that? Let's move on. Talk to me every now and then. You just give us some of these offshore things about the politics. What are you looking at? Seeing anything? Is the needle moving on anybody here?
Yeah, a little bit more money on the president, on Donald Trump. He's down to like plus 145 now. So 100 wins, 145. Biden's still the favorite. He's minus 175. Now, that implies 63% probability. But I can tell you this. I read this story in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. At one major European bookmaking shop, already with 5 days to go, the Trump-Biden election is the most heavily bet event in the history of their company. That's just one company, King John. $259 million already wagered at this European sports book, which broke the record of Trump-Hillary. That was $258 million. And I talked to somebody, an industry expert, who imagines that we could be around the world, outside of the U.S., you can't bet it in the U.S., but around the world, there could be $500 million wagered on Trump-Biden.
Do you get points on this? Like, okay, if Biden wins but doesn't win by enough, do they handicap it plus or minus that way?
They haven't done it yet. I'm sure they'll get more creative as the days go on. But no, it's just a straight bet. You know, pick the winner. Biden is a favorite, minus 175. You've got to risk 175 to win 100. But $500 million on the American election? That's insanity.
I looked at Nate Silver's 538 and Real Clear Politics today, and they say Trump could win this thing, but the chances of Trump winning it, according to 538, are 11 in 100, an 89% chance that Biden will win. That's the Electoral College. The chance that Biden will win the popular vote is 99%. That doesn't matter, of course. What's your bet of the week?
Somebody bet $8,600 to win $8 on Clemson, which raises a lot of red flags, potential money laundering. Who knows? Why do you bet $8,600 to win $8? Now, the bet did win. Clemson against Syracuse, they bet Clemson to win. $8,600 to win $860.
What's your pick of the week, Sam?
Let's go Bengals. I know you got to go. Bengals plus 5.5. Good teams win, but great teams cover. They only have one win, but they've covered 5 of 7. They're getting 5.5 against the Titans. And I like the Bengals this weekend.
And I like the Bears, and I like the under on the Bears game Sunday.
43.5. Hey, 4 in a row. You're hotter than I am right now. Let's go.
Good to talk to you, Sam. I'll visit with you next Thursday, sir.
You got it, buddy. See you.